Good afternoon, everyone. We're happy to have you with us on Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Pastor Ron, hey, sir, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dwight. How's it going, my friend?
Doing well. Good. Look forward to visiting with you again, as always.
I tell you, we have such a good time doing these programs, don't we?
If our audience enjoys it half as much as we do, they're having a great time.
I tell you what, we leave here happy, don't we?
We absolutely do, every single time. Hey, you know, we talk about things we hopefully every week will make a difference in the lives of our audience. And the phrase that you and I discussed and talked about just a little bit, you know, the Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away.
Right.
God and his word are the only thing that I know never changes.
Mm-hmm.
You change, I change, circumstances change, job change, people change, appetites change, but God doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It will not pass away. And so his word, and I'm learning, and as you helped to teach me since you've been my pastor at Living Hope Church for a number of years now. How's that for a good commercial? East Spring Street, Cookville, Tennessee. We'd love to have you sometime. Great church. But the more of this word of God that we get in our heart, and really we live out of, Pastor Ron,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we
mm-hmm.
it drives us, it causes, it teaches us how to act, how to react, how to speak, how to talk, really how to live. We start living out of that word of God instead of letting our circumstances be in control of our life, the better our lives are.
Exactly. And, you know, Dwight, that's, one of the things that we want to realize is how fortunate and blessed we are to live in a community that really does that. You know, we are just so fortunate to have so many churches, church families, community events, activities that really touch our lives. And what I continually say, I just find this in my heart all the time to say that as a result of really the scriptures and the word of God being paramount in people's lives and in all the denominations and different community events and things, people have you will find that when the word of God is alive in a community, the result of that is peacefulness and productivity.
Yeah.
And we can bring that back to an individual basis to realize that when the word of God becomes activated and becomes real and becomes something where, you know, you realize that you enter church to worship, you don't stay within those four walls. You come out to serve your family, to serve the community, to serve people. And when the word of God is real in our lives, that causes a very rich atmosphere, if you would, a very rich environment for service. It causes a very rich environment for peace. It causes a very rich environment for productivity. We always have that choice and that option in our life, but the word of God, you know, Jesus did say heaven and earth would pass away, but as we know it anyway, but the word of God is remains and is stable and is steadfast forever. And when we unpack, I think that's what we're talking about today, is unpacking or really opening up the word of God to look at some maybe familiar verses that all of us may know or have heard, we begin to see truths that are life-changing, life-transforming, that truths that will cause us to be servants. And, you know, once you humble yourself and serve, you begin to see that, man, life is so much more than about me.
Yeah.
So much more about me and my problems. And it really gets your eyes off your problems. And so as we go through this next couple of weeks here, talking about unpacking the Word of God, one of the things that I hope our listening audience gleans from this or takes from this is how to bring this revelation or this insight into the Word of God back to a personal level that will then affect the whole entire community.
Wow. Yeah. Unpacking the truth. That's
yes.
what we want to do. And so we've got some scripture. Some are very familiar to the folks listening. Some may not be as familiar. That we just want to go through, maybe word by word, phrase
mm-hmm.
by phrase, and really just get into the depths of it some and show how it's practical on an everyday
yes.
basis as we unpack the truth. Because after all, I'm learning and that in my life, in your life, the life of the community, when the word of God is the final authority, when the word of God is the constant point of
mm-hmm.
reference in our life, the constant point of reference of final authority, I'm better off. My family's
oh.
better off. The community's better off. So let's
the country, the whole, really
yeah.
the world is better off when we do that.
I mean, absolutely.
Our lives personally from all the way to the whole world becomes better.
We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Local Matters and for a Friday afternoon, your host, Dwight Henry Long, with Pastor Ron Allen as we unpack the truth here. And the first verse I want to look at is, if anybody knows Pastor Ron, one hymn, it's probably Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. If somebody knows one verse in the Bible, it's probably the verse we're going to unpack first of all this afternoon. And that is, of course, in the book of John, one of the accounts of that when Jesus was on the earth. And it's in chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 98% of people listening right now probably have heard that verse. Mm-hmm. But let's spend some time in it and talk about how, you know, and maybe gain some things we haven't seen before, or at least have some things stirred up in our thinking that we need to have stirred up. And the first thing I see there is those first two words, Pastor Ron, for God. Yeah. It all begins with God.
Yes.
Everything begins with God.
And because, you know, Dwight, the way we would say that is because God.
Yeah.
You know, most of us would say because God so loved the world. And when we think about, you know, the love of God, Dwight, and we think about for God so loved, one of the things over in 1 John, this is the Gospel of John, but over in 1 John 4, the scripture says, we loved him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get a lot of people that may not comprehend this, that God's love toward our community and toward our nation and toward our world is not based on our performance. Because before we could ever do anything to do to get him for God so loved, before we could do anything, he already demonstrated that love for us. Before we could do anything right or wrong. You know, and when we unpack this truth, when we really look at this truth, it brings the core of life, the core of everything back to the love of God.
Yeah.
It brings it all back to God. It doesn't base it on religious performance. And religions and denominations and churches, you know, I'm a pastor of a church, so I think I can say this, all have a tendency to leave out because God. We get religious in our systems.
Yeah.
And we get religious in our thinking, and we fail to see the spiritual truths that before man could ever mess up or before man could ever do anything right, God already showed us his side. He already showed us his heart because God so loved the world.
Yeah.
God gave us his Son before we could ever do anything to mess it up.
Yeah.
I mean, or before we could ever do anything to gain his approval or his acceptance, I mean, or his love. You know, he already took the first step. And, you know, Dwight, if you think about love, love will always be first. You know, and I keep going back to this in my heart for some reason. Maybe there's somebody listening needs to hear this, but you look at our community, you look at this Upper Cumberland and this Highland Rim area. We've had leaders and people and churches and groups in our community, Dwight, that have taken the first step, that have they've demonstrated love.
Sure.
For God so loved, because God so loved, he gave first. We are so fortunate to have a community of churches and a community of people that are taking the first step. Our community has taken the first step in many things to help to lay a pathway. I can remember years ago, I can remember years ago when City Lake dried up, the old City Lake dried up, and the city of Cookeville didn't have any water. And I mean, they went out there and they drilled wells all around the lake and they got water, but it was sulfur water. And you know what? Our leadership at that time saw the wisdom. I forget how many miles it was to lay a water line all the way to Center Hill Lake.
Yeah.
Dwight, that took some initiative in seeing the need of people and loving people and caring about people. And, you know, we can get so scriptural and so spiritualized or religiousized about that we fail to see the reality of how we can be applicable with this love of God in an everyday life, even for our immediate families.
And, you know, that understanding that God loves
you.
And there, I don't know, sometime in the body of Christ, I don't know how it happens, but it's like God loves me if I do. You mentioned performance. Well, God loves me as long as I'm behaving well. There's nothing, and maybe you've heard this said, there's nothing I can do to make God love me any more than he does.
No. Nope.
There's nothing I can do to make God love me any less than he does. He just loves me. Everything that I have, the blessings, the benefits, the relationship, First up is "For God So Loved." So loved. "For God So Loved." And then, as you've already touched on, and so you've already heard it, "So Loved That He Gave His Only Begotten Son." Now, let's talk about that. We got a couple minutes before the break hit, but let's talk about that, and maybe we'll come back to it afterwards. But He gave His Only Begotten Son. Talk about the significance of giving His Son. Why did He do that, and what did that mean?
But, you know, Dwight, over in Romans chapter 8, I think it's his verse 9, maybe 5 through 9, 5 through verse 9 there, it talks about that God demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
That Christ died for us, that He died. God didn't die for the godly. He died for the ungodly, which I was included in that number, and every other person was, that have accepted Christ. We all have to realize that God gave His Son, which I said, I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I wouldn't give them for anybody. You know, I don't mean to be selfish. I just wouldn't. I'm not going to sacrifice their lives on the altar for anybody. But yeah. God so loved us that He gave His best.
Mm-hmm. We're glad you're with us. This is Local Matters for Friday afternoon. Back with more in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Local Matters for Friday afternoon. Happy to have you along. Your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Today, we are unpacking truth. We're taking scriptures of the Bible and just unpacking it.
It's good, too.
Phrase by phrase, word by word, and talk about what that means to you, to me, to humanity. And the verse that we're looking at and we've been discussing so far is the one that may be the most familiar verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave, the world, us individually, that He gave His Son. Why was it necessary that He give His Son? And what does it mean, Pastor Ron, that He gave His Son? Why did something like that have to happen to restore individuals and mankind back into relationship with God?
Well, we understand that God created man, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And they, of course, they failed. You know, they sinned. They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't just the knowledge of evil, it was the knowledge of good and evil. So what that meant, Dwight, was that they put themselves in the position of God, that they would determine what was good and evil rather than God determining what was good and evil, much like you see our society and culture today, individuals determining what is good and evil based on their own choice, their own decision, rather than looking to God's word, which we started the program off with today. So in that rebellion, Dwight, you know, in that original sin, that rebellion, when you think about God, if God is who He says He is all-powerful and all-being, you can't be that powerful and that just with corruption. You can't be all-knowing, all-powerful if there's unjust or corruption in your being or in that. And so God had to figure out a way for something or someone to be penalized and pay that price that was broken between Him and Adam in the garden. And He said, I'll pay it myself. So,
yeah.
So He sent Himself and His Son to pay that price. And what Jesus did on the cross was He satisfied all the demands of justice, all the demands of that righteousness, all the demands of that sin required. He satisfied the wrath of God. I mean, if you read John 3 all the way through, it says that wrath of God is on people that don't believe this, that the condemnation that comes on the world is the condemnation of unbelief, of not believing that God in himself paid the price for us himself. I mean, once you begin to catch hold of the realities of this, Dwight, it's like amazing at the wisdom of God that he put himself as a substitute for man to pay a price that man really couldn't pay anyway. And most of us need to grow up and realize we can't perform our way into salvation. We can't work our way. I think Philippians 4 says we work it out of us. Once we receive Christ, we work salvation out of us, but we can't work for it. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for it. There's no place where you can work for this. It has to be received by faith in the fact of a loving God that settled the demands of justice at Calvary.
So the situation was this. The relationship between man and God had been broken because man had sinned, centered into the world. But God had a plan before the foundation of the earth where he said, I'm not only going to be the judge, I'm going to be the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator of the crime. I'm going to send my son, all God in human flesh, all man without ceasing to be God, God walking around in human flesh to teach and minister and preach. He's going to die a cruel death on the cross. He'll be crucified. He will cry out at the end of that crucifixion, my God, why have you separated yourself from me? Why have you forsaken me? Because the scripture tells us that he not only died for us, he died as us. Mm-hmm. He died a sinner's death. Jesus became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His spirit left his body, just like our spirits will leave our body sometime. His spirit went into hell itself. Yes. Even though he faced temptation as a man, he never did sin.
No.
He was a divinity also, so he didn't deserve to go to hell, but he went and he stayed there 3 days, and then God called him up from hell. He went there and took what we deserved so that we could have what he has, and that's righteousness and a right relationship with the Father. Am I right about that?
That's brought out, Dwight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And that's basically called the great exchange, where Jesus took our sin, our penalty, our guilt, our condemnation, our judgment, our poverty, our sickness, our disease, all of the anxiety, the pressures of life, they came on him at Calvary, so that he became that. God hath made him to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God hath made him to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And, man, you're talking about something that will lift the lid off your brain and cause you to have some lateral thinking is when you really begin to think about, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, he has made me the righteousness of God. I say it this way. Jesus never committed sin, but by faith, he bore our sin. He took our sin. He took the shame. We've never committed righteousness, but by faith, we become the righteousness of God. And when you think about what's the practical part of that, what is the applicable part of that? Well, once you understand you're the righteousness of God, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Once you understand that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish, man, you begin to understand the ramifications of that righteous standing with God. It gives you confidence in life. It gives you a peace in life. It gives you a rest in your being that you're not always feeling inferior. You're not always trying to measure up. You're not comparing yourself to other people. I mean, there's a whole world there.
The pressure's off. Yeah.
The pressure's off. God, in his wisdom, Dwight, lifted the lid off the pressure cooker so that we could have a relationship with him, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and as we walk into that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he took what we, as we've already said, he took what we deserve so we could have what he has.
That's right.
And then the rest of that verse says that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Someone listening may not understand what's about this process. If somebody says, "Well, I want to believe," how do you walk into that believing in him relationship? Well, what has to happen with a person?
Well, you know, Dwight, just understanding what we're talking about here is that we couldn't pay for this on our own. I mean, how could any of us satisfy the demands of the holiness of God? I mean, he's God. You know, think about that. I mean, so no man could do that. God had to send himself in Christ. And when Jesus became that sin for all mankind, I think it's 1 John chapter 2 says he not only became the sin for us, but he became sin for the whole world. I mean, And he became our advocate as believers. So when we believe in this process, when we believe this, the scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess that Jesus is Lord because of this process, we shall be saved.
Yeah.
I mean, that's simple. You believe this process that you couldn't do it. And there's no way I could satisfy a holy God. I mean, still, there's no way. But what I believe that Jesus did, and I accept him into my life, and then the scripture says you shall be saved.
Happy you're with us this afternoon on Local Matters. We are unpacking truth. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. And the scripture that we're unpacking is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. So at 13 years old, when I'm sitting in a church, and you don't have to be sitting in the church,
no.
you can be anywhere.
That's right.
And I felt that drawing, that love of God compelling me. And basically, I said, God, I know that I'm sinned. I'm one of those. I've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
God, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgive us my sins. Then what I have done is I believed in him. I believed in my heart.
Exactly.
I confessed with my mouth. So if there's any doubt about anybody listening about how you do that, that's how you begin this relationship, and that's what that verse is talking about. We say, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, means that they won't be separated from God forever.
Yeah, and
for a minute longer.
We don't need to complicate that, do we? I mean,
no.
It's like it's so simple. Sometimes you have to have help to misunderstand it.
You take a preacher to match that up, wouldn't it?
It's so simple, you know. It's like it's so simple. And you know, I can put it in a very simple terms. Don't reject your acceptance.
Ooh, we.
You know? We've been accepted by God. Now, of course, we're all smart enough to know God's not going to approve everything we do. There's a difference between acceptance and approval. I mean, it's like everything we do is not approvable, I guess you could say, of God. But we're on a journey. We're growing in that. We're learning. I'm learning more today than I did 25 years ago how to be pleasing to God. You know, one of the ways is to rest in this righteousness, to rest in what Jesus has done, to learn to rest and be still. And anytime condemnation, guilt, or shame tries to creep into your life, anxiety, fear, or lack, whatever, you resist the devil, you resist that, and he will flee. And I mean, it's like that is pleasing to God, Dwight. That is pleasing to God. I think sometimes we look at, as one minister says, smoking, drinking, cussing, dipping, chewing, and running with those that do.
Yeah.
And those type things, we major on those instead of majoring on the fact that, you know, those things are hurtful and can hurt people. But we major on minors, and we need to major on the fact, where is my belief system? Where is my heart? You know, am I on a journey here of having purity of heart, or am I just stuck somewhere? Am I growing in this development? Am I really letting Jesus be the Lord of my life and leading me and leading me through the failures, leading me through the successes? Or am I piled up in a heap thinking it's all about me and I've got to perform to be good enough for God to accept me? Well, when we're doing that, Dwight, we're just taking John 3:16 and we're packing it right back up. We're tying it up. You know what I'm saying? We're not unpacking it. We're taking it right. We're not receiving it. But, you know, Dwight, in that passage in John 3, in that next verse, in verse 17, which a lot of people fail to hear and see, it says, for God sent his Son into the world now, the world, not to condemn the world, the world. Now think about that. But that the world through him would have life.
That's John 3:17.
That's John 3:17.
It's important to get that one too.
It is. I mean, you know, you think about that because Jesus didn't come to condemn us. God came that we would have life, that we would enjoy life. But we got to figure out this journey, following our shepherd and letting Jesus be the Lord of our life.
And the last part of that verse, that they should not perish but have everlasting life.
Wow.
And what I'm learning is that everlasting life starts now.
Yes.
When Christ comes into our heart, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, creatures that never before existed. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us is our hope of glory. And when he comes in to stay.
Yeah.
That's why they call it eternal life.
Yes.
He didn't come in one day and leave the next based on our performance. Now, I might do some things that might mess up my fellowship with him and cause some static, but I can't mess up the relationship because it's secure. That's why they call it eternal life. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a powerful verse?
I love that now.
Isn't that a powerful verse?
I love that, Dwight, that eternal eternal life. It's the Greek word zoe,
yeah,
which means absolute life, and it takes on the nature of the source that it comes from, and yeah. It doesn't deplete the source that it comes from,
yeah.
But it expands in the one that receives it. It's life. It's living life now, Dwight, and eternity is something we're all going to enjoy through the Lord Jesus Christ, but let's don't put it off till we die.
That's right. Abundant life's for now.
It's now. That life is now. So we have it. Thank God, for God so loved the world. Amen.
Unpacking truth.
Amen.
This is fun. Let's do some more of it next week.
All right. Sounds good, Dwight.
So happy you could be with us today. Join us next time, next week, same time, for Local Matters.